If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Kaya Biz with Google at 4P.
On Kaya959. On the streets, on the air.
24 minutes after 6 o'clock, you're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. As always, we want to hear from you, so do be sure to share your thoughts, questions and feedback. 063-688-0959 is where you can share your voice notes too. An intriguing conversation we're going to have now, and for many of you who might be listening through our DSTV streaming, watch content from DSTV, Showmax, and many of the other platforms that you can make use of under the technology group, MultiChoice is essentially being pursued by Canal Plus. If you haven't had a full update of this particular story, we'll give you one now to fully understand why it is that this French broadcasting network is so eager to ensure that they can buy out 100% of MultiChoice. To give us some context, we joined on the line by business writer for the Business Day and Financial Mail, Mudiwa Gavaza. Mudiwa, welcome to the show, sir.
Good evening, Google. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks again for joining us. Now, one of the latest updates is the fact that Canal Plus now holds 40.8% of MultiChoice, a significant figure because it is certainly looking to make its way to fully own this company. But I think before we get into the intricacies of the increase in the stake, the full buyout and the rumors around who might be involved, maybe it's important that we actually provide some context as to who Canal Plus actually is and why MultiChoice has been on the cards for them.
So Canal Plus is a French broadcasting group. They are have been part of a global conglomerate called Vivendi. Right now they are, Vivendi is in the process of unbundling certain of its assets, and Canal Plus is looking to list soon, take somewhat of an independent stance and, take hold of its own destiny going forward, akin to what happened to MultiChoice with Naspers back in 2019. Mm-hmm. That group was unbundled out of Naspers, listed on the JSE. So something similar is happening on the Canal Plus side. And it seems that, as part of, where to from here, they have earmarked Africa as, a big place for them to grow. They've already had a presence on the continent, particularly in your Francophone countries, yes, or French-speaking countries. So they're no stranger to the continent. But, what they lack, which MultiChoice has, is that Pan-African presence. Mm-hmm. MultiChoice operates literally across the whole continent. So that distribution network is something that is unmatched. And if you think about it, right, you can either build something yourself or you can go and acquire it. Part of the dilemma is to say, if you're a company like Canal that sees Africa as a growth prospect, right, do you sit and replicate what MultiChoice has done over almost 30 years? Mm-hmm. Or do you actually just go out and buy, MultiChoice itself, and then from there? So I think more than anything else, it's the distribution, it's the network, and also just the collection of sports rights as well. Many people have spoken about the sports rights. That's a big thing. Yes. We take SuperSport for granted sometimes in South Africa, but it's one of those few it's one of the few places in the world that has so many sports rights under one umbrella. In the US, you want to watch basketball, you go to ESPN. You maybe want to watch baseball, perhaps it's Apple TV Plus. You want to watch Monday Night Football, perhaps it's going to be NBC. And you have this fragmented type of approach to the market. But in Africa, we have this one-stop shop called SuperSport, and that's very attractive for any investor.
Definitely sounds like a competitive advantage. Hence, we also see some of the pushback from its competitors in the market currently unfolding at the Competition Commission.
Yeah, no, certainly. You know, there's a lot that's going on that front. I think this week we had eMedia actually winning, you know, the latest round of an ongoing battle that they've been having with MultiChoice, specifically around the sports rights. Their issue was a simple one, to say that when the World Cup happened last year, the rugby one, MultiChoice had the rights for this region. They sub-licensed to SABC so that people could watch, the rest of the country could watch the Springboks that are not subscribed to DSTV. But MultiChoice would not allow SABC to broadcast rugby, those rugby matches on OpenView, which is eMedia's satellite platform. And they basically said, MultiChoice argued to say, well, eMedia is just benefiting unduly from a deal that the SABC has gone and made. You know, if they want sports rights, they should go and argue, and they should go out and get them for themselves. You know, so all of these, you know, different things have been happening, and eMedia took MultiChoice to court around that to say that they're abusing their dominant power. So on one hand, you see that dominance in sports being seen as a valuable asset by an investor, but, you know, competitors seeing the same thing as, you know, a possible abuse of market power.
Got you. Thanks for giving us insight on that, because I'm aware it has been quite strong and a feature in the headlines just this past week. What I'm looking to hold on to is the theme that you highlighted around super sport really being taken for granted, given its access to a variety of sporting content that it can uniquely deliver across the African continent. And what I'm understanding from Canal Plus's pursuit of MultiChoice is, as you've said, why compete when you could actually just partner with this particular business, buy it out, and continue in your aggressive growth strategy to further deploy more content and, of course, more technological solutions, which has been part of MultiChoice's positioning. Contextualize for us the slow increase in the shareholding by Canal Plus into MultiChoice to such an extent that it even raised some red flags with the takeover regulation panel over some finger trouble, I understand. I always like using the analogy of a relationship here, or a friendship, where you meet someone, you say, hey, okay, I like you, there's something going. And Canal Plus said, hold on, Supersport, that's a great characteristic and trait. Maybe we should be friends, or maybe more than friends. And now it's saying, actually, I want to take you in. Be my, you know, partner for life. And it's been a slow transition, but one that's actually being met with a lot of resistance. So talk us through that, Mudiwa.
Well, if we're going to continue with this analogy, then we would say that Canal and MultiChoice have, you know, enjoyed and grew, I'm just going to call it a friendship.
Gotcha.
You know, over the years, because MultiChoice has content deals with players, you know, across the world. And one of the players, you know, is Canal Plus. Right now on Showmax is a show, one of the big budget productions that recently came in was Blood Psalms, from about 2022, if I remember correctly. That was actually a co-production between MultiChoice's Showmax and Canal Plus. So they have been collaborating for a number of years. Mm-hmm. Right now, there's another show on Showmax called Spinners, which is actually being shown through Canal Plus in Europe, right? So they've been partnering, they've been working together over time. You know, they were friends with each other for many years, but in 2020, you know, it seems Canal Plus decided that it wanted to get out of the friend zone.
Yeah.
And wanted to take the relationship to the next level. We took note of their buying action in October 2020. At that time, they had reached 6.5%. They had been building up the stake for a little bit, but the MultiChoice had to disclose, you know, after they reached, you know, the 5% mark. So they reached 6.5% in October 2020. You know, and then after that, I would say that's when things, you know, started escalating, because literally in the same month, October 2020, they almost doubled that stake to 12%. Then they continued again. I would say the slowest buying was in 2021, because not too much was going on. And then in March 2022, they reached 18.4%. You know, then from there, you know, it was properly aggressive because a year later, in February 2023, they had reached 30%. You know, so they've been buying, and then they pushed that up to 33%. You know, by the time that we got to February of this year. So the day that they made the offer, which was on the 1st of February, they had 33%. Then literally a day later, they were at 35%, right? So that's when the takeover regulation panel came in. I don't want to get too complex, you know, into this, but there are regulations in South Africa where if a company reaches 35%, you know, of a company's stock, they have to make a mandatory offer to other shareholders. Yes. Because when you are at an AGM or a special meeting of shareholders, you need 66% of a vote most of the time to pass a special resolution. If one person holds 35%, then it means that there's less than 66% with other shareholders. That means that one party can unilaterally block all special resolutions on their own. So as part of the protections, there's this rule to say once you reach this threshold, you must make an offer. But Canal made an argument, and this is why it was contentious. There's a foreign ownership restriction around media assets in South Africa.
Yes.
But the ruling, because the argument that Canal made was we don't need to make a mandatory offer. Remember what I said about special resolutions? We don't need to make an offer to other shareholders because our voting is blocked at 20%. So why do we need to make an offer? Because we can't really influence big votes or anything like that. But the takeover regulation panel came back and said, actually, you guys can vote your shares insofar as you're not talking about Multichoice South Africa, which holds a license in South Africa. So that's where the real nuance came in. And then they were told, make this mandatory offer. So that's where we're sitting at right now. They've launched that offer. There's going to be a full circular that comes out at the start of May, I think around the 8th. But the process is already underway since about the 8th of April. But being under this, it has not stopped Canal. They've continued to buy. They were at 35% and now they're sitting at just under 41%.
100%. I absolutely love how you've explained this, Mudiwa, because again, using my very oversimplified version of this, as you say, Canal Plus moving out of the friend zone, becoming increasingly competitive and aggressive in saying, hold on, this partnership thing can work. And of course, then perhaps the family saying, hold on, if this partnership is going to work, you can't just go in and cohabitate. You need to let us know first, said we fully comprehend what the consequences are. And speaking of that, this actually takes us to a lot of the concerns that have been raised around this potential acquisition of Canal Plus, or rather acquisition of Multichoice by Canal Plus, is the delisting, the economic consequences on the country, the social consequences on labor, and of course, understanding the regulatory themes that you've alluded to from a licensing and local ownership point of view. Talk to us through, I guess, some of the speculation and concerns that have been raised should this transaction turn out to be successful for Canal Plus.
Let me start on the investor side. One of the biggest concerns that's there right now is what happens to Multichoice's block of BEE shareholders.
Yes.
Multichoice has a big BEE scheme called Putumanati.
Mm-hmm.
And by many measures, it's thought to be probably the best run BEE scheme in South Africa, because firstly, it's open-ended. It's a fund that has, it's a scheme that does not end, because a lot of BEE schemes, you know, go for a certain amount of time, they reach maturity,
yes,
people are paid out, and then they might start another one. But Putumanati is sort of open-ended. They just continue It trades on what's called the integrated exchange. It's worth about 6.5 billion or so rand. That's the market cap of Putumanati right now. They own 25% of MultiChoice South Africa. Mm-hmm. So they're quite a sizable shareholder. And we've asked Canal Plus pointedly to say, hey, do you guys have a place for this structure going forward if you're to acquire the company? Mm-hmm. For now, the indication is yes, because the French guys understand that they need to take care of the BEE aspect. And Putumanati has been in place even before MultiChoice listed. So if we're to speculate about a delisting of MultiChoice, then it's very possible for Putumanati to continue in a company that is not in a MultiChoice that is not listed once again. So that's one concern, that people have. The other big concern is to say, depending on what measure you're using, MultiChoice is the biggest media company in South Africa from a market cap and revenue point of view. There's something to be said about the audience that the SABC has, but at least from a market cap and revenue point of view, MultiChoice is the biggest. And the concern is South Africa willing to let a foreign entity come in and buy our biggest media asset as a country, as South Africa? Talking to some of the people in the investment community, one of the analogies that's given is to say, if a foreign entity wanted to go and buy the biggest media entity in China or in Russia, would those two governments allow something like that to happen? Mm-hmm. Right. So that's, one of the concerns. And then I think the last two, since we've spoken quite a bit about sport,
this
has been it's a somewhat of a funny one, but you almost see how near and dear these things are to people. People are concerned about, if the French take over MultiChoice, will I still be able to get closer commentary on my soccer, for example? I've heard that some people also just concerned about the fact that you've got local content that MultiChoice has been producing. Does that agenda continue?
Yeah.
Loss of support of local industries, for example. Soccer in South Africa is basically being, DStv has soccer on its shoulders.
Definitely. And from what I'm hearing from this, Mudit, we really can't look at this this potential transaction in isolation. There's so many consequences to it, as you've highlighted, not only the influence of Putumanati, but even the content itself, how it will be developed, how it will be distributed, localization, which has been very key and part of the secret source to success for MultiChoice, even in its jurisdictions across the rest of the continent, given the offerings that they do have. So it's certainly one that we will watch. For the moment, now that Canal Plus owns 40.8% of MultiChoice, does this essentially mean that we are edging closer to a potential buyout here?
We definitely are, because as much as I don't know what analogy to use, but this almost feels like watching a car crash in slow motion.
Ooh, car crash! That almost sounds like the terrible ending is on our part.
But that's why I said I don't think car crash is the best. Perhaps that's not the best analogy to use, you can almost watch this thing, and we're watching this thing happening in real time. Let me rather say that, because they're just under 41% now. They were at 33% just less than 2 months ago, right? So they are aggressively buying. The two numbers that I would want people to keep in their heads is, in as much as they are gunning for 100% ownership, all they need is 50+1%.
True, to be a majority.
To be a majority.
Definitely.
So,
and they're not too far.
At the current rate,
the girl's going, Mudiwa. The girl's going. I'm keeping to my courtship analogy because I think it makes more sense there. Definitely.
Yeah, at the current prices, yes, it does seem as if Canal Plus will have successfully left the friend zone in just a few weeks' time.
We'll leave it there, but truly appreciate your perspective there, Mudiwa. That's Mudiwa Kavaza, business writer for the Business Day and Financial Mail, so eloquently peeling back at the many layers of the story regarding the Canal Plus acquisition of MultiChoice. Lots to consider. As you've heard, it's been a gradual process, but they've been very clear about this particular acquisition that they want. They are keen, they are eager, they are very bullish from what we can tell. The chair and the board of MultiChoice themselves are considering this deal, but also taking into consideration the many economic aspects that also could be ripply fixed to this conversation. So it is one to watch. Bear in mind, Canal Plus now owns 40.8% of MultiChoice. If they go to 51%, I get majority shareholder. We all know what that means.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.